today on Real Radio.
God has put you and I on a quest to know truth. And it's got to be discovered. Not invented, not created, discovered. Truth is available if you're willing to get it, if you're willing to pursue. And God says of himself that if you come after me with all of your heart, I will be found by you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Israel, God's Witness to the World, Part 1, continues a series now called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, Isaiah's ministry regarding Israel can be divided into two specific revelations from God. From Isaiah chapter 39 through the end of the book, the theme changes. The second half now reveals to us the wonderful blessings and fulfillments of God's promises to the Jews and to the land of Israel during what's called the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth. In Isaiah chapter 42, we learned that God's man for the ages is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. When he came to the earth as a baby, he was 100% God, who also became 100% man. Jesus was God revealed in the flesh, who came to the world to bring us salvation. We were also reminded that Jesus is eternal. He has always existed, and if he can speak creation into existence and give breath to its people, he can surely free us from the bondage of sin and death. So today on day one of chapters 42 and 43, Pastor Jack tells us that the very fact that the nation of Israel exists today is proof enough that God's word is true and that we can indeed rely on his promises. He's a God who we can count on to keep his word. And he's the one who gave us a spirit and a soul that lives forever. And now in his lesson called Israel, God's Witness to the World, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
I ask you, Lord God, that you would go before us in the teaching of your word tonight. And God, I'm just in preparing for this message tonight. Blessed is just sounds like Christianese sometimes when we just say blessed. I'm honored, Lord, to be in your family. We're honored to be in your family. And Father, as we look in Isaiah tonight, the magnitude of who you are and what you do is absolutely awesome. So, Lord, we ask now that you would go before us, and we pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. We'll grab your Bibles tonight and turn to Isaiah chapter 42, we'll be there for a little bit, and then we'll get into tonight Isaiah 43. We almost finished off the chapter last week, but didn't do it. We'll do that tonight and then get into the opening verses of chapter 43. Chapter 43 is an amazing chapter, and you'll see why in a moment. But tonight, I just hope that we walk away this evening with a greater appreciation of the person of God. Who is this God of ours that keeps these promises? And how does God manifest these promises to those who believe in him and his commitment? I'm overwhelmed always, and I say this often. I've hardly had any original thoughts in my life, but this is one of them. That God is so committed to the nation of Israel, and he's speaking it through the prophet Isaiah, that God's commitment in his word to his people is something so sure you don't have to doubt or worry about. And yet there are those running around today in what is called replacement theology, which is a doctrine that is not of the Bible, not of God. It's an offense to God, frankly. And they're saying that God, because of Israel's disobedience, God is no longer working with the Jewish people, that he's not going to keep any promises that he made before because they messed up. And even though God said, I have an eternal covenant with Israel, a forever covenant, I'm not going to do that now. And that's what they say, and that's what they make up, but that's not in the Bible. And this is what I say is a comforting thought. If God doesn't keep his promises to the nation of Israel, he's under no obligation to keep his promises to you. But tonight, I hope that you walk away with, because I would assume most of us in here are not Jewish at all, but Gentile, that we'd leave tonight saying, wow, if God keeps his promises to the Jewish people who have done everything humanly possible to offend him and abuse him, and he still keeps his promises to them, then you know what? I'm in good hands. I'm in good hands. Not because we're any better, but because he's incredibly faithful. Amen? He's amazing. He's amazing. And so we want to remember that. So tonight we're going to be looking at a message entitled Israel, God's Witness to the World. And we'll see why we're saying that tonight. Israel, God's Witness to the World. Before we get into the study, I want to give you a little bit of a story that opens up. It's regarding Frederick the Great, the king of Prussia. And this king reigned as king from 1740 to 1786. And this is rather interesting. I'd like you to keep this in mind. Regarding the existence of Israel and God's ability to keep his word. And I'm reading to you now. The king was once in a discussion about the existence of God with the French atheist agnostic Voltaire. We've all studied Voltaire in school. I don't know why. The guy was kind of a bozo. But anyway, Voltaire, as all atheists do, emotionally argued that, quote, there could be no God, close quote. Frederick, turning to his court chaplain, said, quote, if God is true and his word true, then why cannot such a great truth be proven with just one word, close quote. That wise chaplain replied by saying, sir or sire, there is one word that proves both the existence of God and his word. That word is Israel. And Frederick the Great, knowing history, responded, quote, proof enough. Proof enough was the response. I think that's awesome, especially in light of where we're going tonight. And you need to keep these things in mind because of what you may be faced with in life. Maybe doubts hit you, or maybe I don't understand this part about the Bible, or how can we know that this is true or that is true? And I want you to know that God has put you and I on a quest to know truth, and it's got to be discovered, not invented, not created, discovered. Truth is available if you're willing to get it, if you're willing to pursue. And God says of himself that if you come after me with all of your heart, I will be found by you. I think that's significant. I think that's telling and meaningful. Because the Bible says that God is a God who relates. He's a God of personality. And A.W. Tozer speaks that God relates to us as humans, created in his image, in the familiarity of personality to personality. Though you and I are created beings, we've been created in the image of God. Though you and I are made up of the exact same elements that comprise this earth and this universe, inside of you is a very real living spirit and soul. The very part that animates who you are. Think about that. The soul of you, according to the Bible, once created, once you've been brought into this world, or once you, actually, technically, according to the Bible, once at conception, 9 months before you come into this world, God has assembled within you that very soul, that very spirit, just by being a human, creating the image of God, which, by the way, sets you out from being an animal. And the fact that your body will only live in this world for a certain period of time has no bearing on the fact that your spirit lives forever. And when the Bible says you must be born again, for example, to enter the kingdom of God, what Jesus says, he's talking about your spirit. So once being brought into this world, you will live forever. Think of that. It's like angels. Angels were created. They're not eternal. But once they've been created in some capacity, they live on. We have no evidence in Scripture that angels die. Frankly, we have no evidence in Scripture that human spirits die. Because the Bible says once a human dies, they either go to heaven where God is, or they go to hell where God is not. But the Bible never says that there's a ceasing of existence. Jehovah Witnesses, they may be very nice, hardworking people, but their theology's messed up, and they're taught annihilation. Did you know that? If they're not one of the 144,000, which they say is them, then you're annihilated at death. There is no life after death. There is no heaven or hell or existence after death, according to the Jehovah Witness doctrine. You cease to exist because annihilation comes to you. And that is not taught in the Bible. The fact of the matter is, God is eternal, and you and I will live forever. But listen, these promises that God speaks to us about, how do we know that God is going to keep these things for us? And I want to submit to you tonight a consideration. When you study, as it is the book of Isaiah, notice what God says to his people or to anyone who will love him or trust him, or what he says to the people of Israel, to the nation of Israel. Because if you can find a loophole where God says, I know I said this to you, but I'm not going to do that, then we all just need to close our Bibles and get out of here tonight. I don't know what you would do to eat, drink, and be merry, but go do it. Because tomorrow we die, so to speak, as the old story goes. But thank God you can't find a loophole regarding his promises. God keeps his word. And you can be very confident about that. So listen, church, as we get into this, it's important for us to remember this, that as we look back at the 39 previous chapters of the book of Isaiah, we saw him dealing with the nation, and there were those woes and condemnations because the nation had gone astray. And what's interesting, that dealt with Israel's past and current. Now, from chapters 40 on, we're dealing with Israel's current and future. And this is very important to us because from this time on, we start to see a lot about Israel of the future. But before we look at that, look at chapter 42, and we'll just kind of go through the finishing off of the chapter. Look at verse 16 where we left off. It says in Isaiah 42, verse 16, I will bring the blind. If you're taking notes tonight, Bible open, circle the word blind. He's referring to Israel. Listen, I will bring the blind by a way they did not know. Because if you read the whole chapter 42, you know that Israel is being spoken about and they're blind. They're blind. Their sin has separated them from God. And God yet says to them, I'm going to bring the blind, Israel, by a way they did not know. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked places straight. These things I will do for them and not forsake them. This is amazing because Israel here at the time of this prophecy is about to go into captivity. They're going to be taken away into Assyria to the north and Babylon to the east. And Isaiah is prophesying and he's saying to them, you're blind. You don't know what you ought to know, but God will not give up. He announces to them, I'm not going to forsake you. Listen, for us tonight, 21 centuries later, I want to ask you this. When you look at history, did God ever break his word to the nation of Israel? He never did. Listen, tonight, if you know any Jewish people, they would say, I take issue with that. Where was he in the Holocaust of Israel? Where was he in the captivity and the diaspora where Israel was sent out to all the nations of the world through captivity and slavery? Listen, the God of the Bible said in Deuteronomy chapter 28, if you mistreat me and turn your back from me and you don't follow my prescription for life, you're going to be taken to all the nations of the world because of your disobedience. The criticism is true. It should be toward the nation and not the God. He told them in advance. He spoke through Moses as he said, you walk with me and I'll prosper you, I'll bless you. You turn away from me and you're going to lose all that. And that's exactly what they did. And yet God says to them in the 16th verse, I will not forsake you. This is a remarkable statement. And I want you to take some notes tonight. I hope you get excited about this. Romans chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Now, hopefully I got these on the screen for you guys and you can jot them all down because it's great to put right next to verse 16 of Isaiah 42. Romans chapter 11, Paul, a Jew, remember, a Jew who's now been born again. Look what he says. And this, we can all look to your Bibles or look to the screen. Again, I really encourage you. I hope you write in your Bibles. I hope you mark them up. Your Bible should be like a diary. You should mark it up. You should date things. When a verse speaks to you, you ought to put your initials next to it and date it. And when your Bible gets all messed up, I have in my library, I have about, I don't know, maybe 15, 16 Bibles that have rubber bands around them. They're all worn out and done from eras of my life. And one of them, I was a young believer. This has nothing to do with the Bible study. I was a young believer, and we were out sailing off of Newport, and my Bible blew off the top of the sailboat and went right over the side. And it was an Oxford Bible from England. It was my first Bible, and we're about 7 miles out, and I saw that thing start to sink into the abyss. I jumped over after that thing, and I got that Bible, and I have that Bible, and it looks like it fell into the Pacific, but all the colors ran in it and all the markings. But you know what? That I all those years, 40 years ago, I can tell you now about that Bible. You ought to mark your Bible up. You ought to mark it up and put down verses and put down things and dates when God speaks to you. I say then, has God cast away his people? This is a Jew, Paul the apostle, born again, now speaking to the Italian believers in Italy. Certainly not. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham and of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people whom he, what's the word? Circle the word. He knew that they would leave him. He knew that they would walk out on him. Hey, Christian, listen, are you backslidden right now? Are you here right now? Pastor, who told you I was going to be here tonight? Are you not walking with God tonight? You're a believer, but you're not walking with God. Are you watching right now? Are you a Christian not walking with God? Listen, heed this. Just start walking with God tonight. You want to know why? Listen, the way that you're going, the Bible says the way of the backslider is hard. What does that mean? It's tough to be a backslider. You get your face beat up all the time. You're constantly miserable. Everybody around you knows you're backslidden. You think they don't know. We all know. You look miserable. You say you love the Lord and you're not convincing anybody. You're miserable. Listen, hey, listen, cheer up. Get back with Jesus right now. You want to know why? He'll never leave you or forsake you. Okay? God keeps his promises. And if he's going to keep it to Israel, he's going to keep it to you. Okay? So Paul says he has not cast them away. Not at all. Why? Because God knows foreknowledge. He knows his people. Verse 11, we skip down. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Are you a non-Jew? Raise your hand. Are you non-Jewish? Raise your hand. Yeah, look at us. We fulfilled that scripture there. God saved non-Jews like us. And there you are, right there, in that verse. Verse 12. Now, if their fall is riches for the world and their failure riches for the Gentiles, talking about spiritual riches, how much more their fullness, or the time when God begins to work in the salvation of the nation and of the Jewish people again. For I do not, verse 25, for I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, watch everyone, until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Hold, stop right there. Number one, I want two things I have to share with you. Number one, the Bible tells us in the book of Corinthians, Paul's letter to the Corinthian believers in Greece, that Satan has blinded the eyes of those who do not believe. That is 100% true, except for one people group. Satan does not blind, he's not allowed to blind, a certain people group, because someone else has already blinded them. Look at the verse. God has put a veil over them. Did you know that? Only the Jew. God blinds the Jew, not Satan. Satan blinds the Gentile world. Isn't that interesting? For his purposes, based on his sovereignty, based on what he's doing, he puts a veil. He has put a veil. Now, you and I know Jews who have come to Jesus. Marty Goetz, Amir Serfati, others I know, as you do. There's a remnant. That number's going to increase as time goes on. But know this, isn't that interesting? And for what's the other reason? Or what's the other point? Until the fullness of the Gentiles is come in. What does that mean? This is creepy awesome. There is a number that God knows of in this church age, in these last 2,000 years, there is a number that God knows of, only to God, of Gentile believers that make up the church, and that when that last person, fullness, that's what it means, the last number, the last count, when that last number makes a decision for Christ, that last person, then that number is done. When that happens, then God refocuses on the Jewish people. By the way, it's called the 7-year tribulation period. And the church number is done. Only God knows this. Isn't it amazing? How close are we? You know, it's kind of like watching the debt clock in New York where the debt of the dollar, the U.S. economy. Imagine if there's a number. Is it in heaven? Is it like going, you know? And then there's going to be a day when the last Gentile gets saved. What's going to happen? I don't know, but it's going to be exciting. I hope personally the rapture happens. The day the last guy says, Lord Jesus, come into my life. And all of a sudden, trumpet blast, we're on our way up to heaven. And that guy's probably going to say, man, I should have did this sooner. Verse 26, and so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion. We're reading a 2,000-year-old declaration from Paul the Apostle, who's quoting a 1,000-year document. We're looking 3,000 years ago now, when that quote, the deliverer, that's the Messiah, will come out of Zion. That has been written for over 3,000 years. Think about that. And he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. What's Jacob, anybody? Israel, another name for Israel. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. This is God's word to the Jewish people. We see the Lord's passion for his people in his own word. And so if you look at verse 16, there at the end, he says, I will not forsake them.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Israel, God's Witness to the World, Part 1. Thanks for joining us today, and isn't it good to know that God is a forgiving God? And just like Israel, even if you've been walking in sin and rebellion, turn back to the Lord. He will restore you too. Israel, God's Witness to the World, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. A series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, we've got a special CD offer for you today. It's a two-part message by Pastor Jack called, Where is God When It Hurts? So many of us are suffering some kind of pain in our lives these days. The Apostle Paul endured great suffering, but instead of giving up, he encourages us to keep hoping in God who will comfort us so that we too can comfort others. Pastor Jack also reminds us that even though suffering does hurt, it's a way that we can know God in a much deeper way and in turn experience his compassion and loving kindness. God is truly the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort. So again, our featured product for today is a two-part message CD set by Pastor Jack. And it's called Where is God When It Hurts? It's available at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us for any reason, you can call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And don't forget, we have other ways to connect with us, such as Facebook, Instagram, and the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. Or you can visit our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click right there on our contact tab. It's real easy, and we'd be happy to get back to you. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.